Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to The Shift.
Welcome back. I think this is our 57th episode.
Oh, is that right?
I think so. That's cool, isn't it? I didn't even notice we'd gone past a year.
Oh, I mean, yeah, 57 is not a normal a number that is normally celebrated.
But we didn't celebrate 52, so here we are.
We didn't celebrate 50, yeah. I guess 50 eps would have been.
No, 52. I've never been. Because 52 would be a year, right? Am I crazy? Or is it, how many weeks is there in a year?
Well, 52 would be a year, except that we did 1 week where there was two. But anyway, podcasters normally don't celebrate they usually celebrate like 100 apps.
Ah, okay. So never mind.
So I would have thought 50 would have been a milestone, you know?
Okay. See you guys in 43.
Not to mention, we skipped a week at Christmas. So, you know, like 50 would have been the number to celebrate if we were into the sort of the numbers. But we'll try to keep an eye out for 100 apps.
Okay, great. Yay.
But it's no problem celebrating 57 either.
Thank you. Happy 57th.
But I guess, are we a year now? Is that?
Yeah, we started in February last year, around about.
Yeah, I got a memory actually on my Facebook of one of our vids.
Yeah, same.
Oh, you did?
I got a memory.
I think it was, I'm not sure which memory it was.
I got one of the logo of us when I created the terrible logo, the cartoon.
What do you mean the terrible logo? You did the logo.
I know, but it's not the best. Well, I like it. I like it. You know, I like it.
You don't like our logo?
No, I do like it, but I'm more just like, you know, I went to art college, so it's like, I'd be like, oh, Jesus, that's like, it's great. Like, I like, okay, the reason why I like it is because when I do a show and someone comes up to me afterwards and I'm saying, will you listen to my podcast? There's a couple of the shifts that come up and I just go, it's the shift with the cartoon. And then they get it automatically.
Yeah, it looks like Beavis and Butt.
Yeah, I know. Which
doesn't even make sense to you because you don't probably know Beavis and
Butt. No, well, I must have done it subconsciously because when I did it, my dad goes, do you know that looks like Beavis and Butthead? And I was like, oh my God, I saw that for the first time a week ago. So I must have done it subconsciously.
Oh.
But I hadn't seen them before.
Yeah, it looks a little like Beavis and Butthead, but it's fine. It's colorful. I like our logo.
Good. Okay. Yay then.
So not a concern of mine.
Yeah, no, I want to keep it, obviously, but you know, when you've created it, you're usually like a little like, ugh.
Yeah, so we're a year doing it. We stuck to it, you know, we stayed with it. We didn't even know it was going to happen. Episode one isn't even on The Shift. I mean, we put it up here, but it was originally on the Des Bishop podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we've been through a lot, dead parents and the rest.
Yeah.
And live parents that... You have issues with?
Yeah, you're trying to take me down. But anyway.
So last week's ep went down well. I mean, it does help that Jess Brennan has like a ton of followers on Instagram. So that kicked off. Did you get some followers out of that?
I got followers, but I don't know if it was from... I got a bunch of followers. So I guess, yeah, that must have been from Jess.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely... I definitely saw that. So I saw a little Insta boost. And then... The amazing thing is that I got some messages about Sanctuary as if we had something to do with it, you know?
Yeah.
Which was nice.
Yeah, like I got the same, like people just saying they were looking forward to going to it and stuff. So,
But I got a review.
Okay.
Did you get any reviews?
I got a review.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my review, honestly, it's not it's not like, sorry, I got distracted because when I picked up my phone, I thought I fucking hung up on you, but I didn't, right? You're still there?
I'm still here.
Thank God. I might as well read it out properly. I'm not gonna say the guy's name. It was a guy.
Okay, and I got a girl, so there you go.
Oh, you got a girl?
Yeah,
good.
Great.
That's good. So I won't say his name, but he messaged me back and he said he loved the podcast with Jess. And he was at Sanctuary last week, and holy shit, it was a different level. If you're going to the next one in T-minus 53 days, I would be honored if you wanted to pre-drink with me and my mates. Keep it in mind, man. Now, people are always inviting me for drinks. I guess they don't pay attention hard enough to some of the stuff I say on the podcast. So I was like, cool, man. Without breaking any rules, can you tell me what you loved about it? So I kind of fished a little bit. And he said, just the fact that nobody gave a fuck who you were, where you were from, what you're wearing. I went on my own, and within 2 minutes of getting a drink at the bar, I was sitting in the smoking area with a group of about 10 people I'd never met before, talking to them like I'd known them all my life. The overall vibe was just incredible. Never experienced anything remotely close to it in Ireland or abroad. I don't think I could go to a normal club again. Ha ha.
Oh, that's...
And then I asked him, was there any madness? And he said he left skipping down the road, whistling What a Wonderful World, we'll just say. So he wasn't giving away anything there. And he said, oh, I asked if you'd be freaked out.
Oh, did you? What did he say?
Nah, it's not as mental as you think. As the night goes on, things get progressively weirder, but at the same time, you get progressively more comfortable and in line with the vibe. I was absolutely shitting bricks going in, and I loved every second. What you wear doesn't make a difference either. I went in with t-shirts and jeans, and nobody gave a shit. So, there you go.
Okay. That's great. That's a great. So what are the rules? What are the rules that you?
No, there are no rules. Sorry, I that was just me joking, because when I had asked Jess,
yeah,
you know, like what goes down, she was like, oh, you know, there's no rules. That was just me joking around. Like, in other words, like I didn't want, you know, conscious of the fact that we have a public podcast, I didn't want him saying anything that, you know, might just be too much information. Like, it's better to leave things unsaid, you know?
Okay.
So what was the review that you got?
Okay, I hope this isn't breaking rules, but hey, Katie, feedback on Sanctuary as promised. It was so much fun. Was nervous about...
As promised?
Oh, because she messaged...
What, you got a relationship with this person?
You know, I write back to all the DMs until they get creepy and then I'm out.
Oh, no, but I mean, they had messaged you in advance and I'm going to go to that.
Yeah. And I said oh, yeah, cool. Let me know how you get on. And she was like, definitely. She was messaging me about it for a bit, kind of like how she was excited to go and stuff. It's just a Jess Brennan fan, I guess, a podcast fan who then, anyway, was nervous about what I was wearing until I got there. And literally everyone had made such an effort to wear fetish wear that no one turned a blind eye. It was just like a normal club with everyone dancing, but it wasn't too full. There was space to dance. Not to give too much away, but there was like a designated area for people if people wanted to do intimate stuff. So people weren't like kissing, etc. in the main area. They would just go to the space. So there wasn't pressure to do anything or get with someone. Met some really cool people there too. Everyone was really friendly. You and Des will have to come next time and review it on the shift.
Yes, I mean, that's going to happen, except that it's Good Friday. I actually don't have shows. I'm not doing shows Easter weekend, but because I have 2 weeks off, I don't know if I'm going to stay in Ireland for... I would literally be staying just to go to that.
Yeah, but that.
But I would absolutely go. Like,
I kind of like that she said there was, because I guess I pictured it walking in and you're like kind of trying to avert your eyes, like people are just banging all over the place. I was like,
oh yeah, no. I mean, I knew it would never be. I knew it wasn't that.
So, well, I guess
wouldn't be possible.
Not in Ireland.
Too mainstream. Like, I mean, you know, she's like a mainstream person. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. It's gone well, and I'm glad that we were able to interview her in advance, and we can save our talking about it more till we go again. However, Kate,
yeah,
you may be going to a New York sex night next week,
so that'll probably be a bit wilder. That'll probably be
so.
Yeah, I'll go.
So we're gonna look forward to that review.
Yeah. So I'll. Things, once nothing happens, that's the plan. We're on the list. So,
and without mentioning any names, you bumped into somebody else who told you that they'd been to one and that you don't need to freak out too much, right?
Yeah, they said they'd been to one. Now, they had said they got involved in the like sexy stuff, so like, but they had went with a boyfriend and kind of like, it was like
oh, that's the thing, if you go with a couple you can sort of get loose.
Yeah, she was just like, this is like a fun little kinky thing, but that was, you know, that and that was like, but you know, I have to go there now with the
You're going with me, mate.
Yeah, so at least it'll just be like, and she said I can leave whenever I want. There's no pressure. So, and she, you know, I'll just go with it.
And she told me, she texted me today to ask if you'd be comfortable with her asking you what you're wearing, because she's thinking about what she's wearing and she wants to discuss it with you.
Yeah, well, she probably should, because it was funny. She sent me a screenshot of the message and I just read when it was on. I didn't even read. And then I went back in and read it and it had like dress attire. And I was like, oh, fuck. I probably would have went there in my fucking Nikes, like, and my flared pants, not even thinking I'd love it. And then I was like, all right, okay, I have to wear something nice. So... but it's just
great. Well, you can give us a full report next week, Kate.
Okay, great.
And if you decide you're not comfortable, don't go, because under no circumstances is the Shift podcast in any way, shape, or form trying to put you into situations you're not comfortable.
Thanks.
With.
I'm glad we got that quoted down.
That is down. That is quoted. February 17th, 2020. No pressure from the Shift podcast for Katie to go to any sex night ever, including Sanctuary or any club night that's considered to be open to sexual activity.
That's so funny. You should do those for those, you know, when those people read that stuff off. You have a great voice for it.
Oh, well, anyway, you get, I mean, the one thing about going to Sanctuary is that you do hope that people respect the, like, you know, you wouldn't want the next day to be like, oh, Des Bishop was in there whipping his dick. And, you know, not that I would anyway.
I'm sure everybody would love that. They'd be like, oh.
Very private with my dick, but, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't a coffee shop. I was a coffee shop the other day and people fucking tweeting about, you know, like questioning who I was with and shit. Like, it's pretty fucking crazy, you know?
Yeah, that's really, that's the scare. That's especially because, like, you know, you're a comedian, so you love what you do. So you want to be successful. But then there's this whole other...
another side, which we may talk about at the end of the ep in relation to the horrible news that happened this week. But before we do, before we get into that, you have a listener dilemma.
Oh, right. Yeah, I do. So. I forgot.
You sound so surprised. You're the one that fucking told me.
I know, but I just forgot. I just got into the conversation and then I was like, oh, yeah. Now, she said to keep this a little vague, so I'm not going to read it word for word. Verbatim, is that the right word? I'm so proud of myself. So basically, a friend of hers got out of a serious relationship and she's just started dating someone new, and they've gotten to the part where it's exclusive now,
right?
So let's say now he's said he wants to be exclusive and he's the one pushing it, and she's seen him via pictures and stuff, she's never actually met him, and then she went on to her Tinder.
Did you start whispering like this is a bit of a secret, or did you just get further away from the mic?
Oh, I don't know what I was doing.
Suddenly it sounded lower, like as if suddenly we were in the secret zone.
Lads, it's very private, we can't be telling people.
Just suddenly now that you're paraphrasing, it's like, oh, I don't want to give away too much.
Well, I don't want to get her in trouble. So basically, to recap, her friend has seen a new guy, he wants exclusivity. Now she has been like, yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna do, I just want to go slow because I just gotta have a serious relationship. But he's the one kind of pushing it. Now the friend who's wrote to us about this went on to Tinder and checked her matches, and she'd matched with him. So she must have swiped on him a while back. Like, she's never met him. So he just recently matched. She just got the match. So that means he's on Tinder and he's swiping. Now, he would know her because he's never met her. But of course, you know, with girlfriends, we show all the pictures. We know girlfriends know more about the boyfriend than anyone, like, you know, so because we tell each other everything. So she said, what does she do now? Does she go to the...
Let me get this. Yeah. She said she probably swiped on him ages ago. Is that it?
Yeah. And, you know, she wouldn't even think of it because she was just swiping away, but she just got the match notification.
Like in the last couple of days, kind of.
Yeah. So after him, he had been like talking about the exclusivity and he had told the friend, like, he's gone off the apps and stuff and he just wants to be with her.
Oh, I mean, does she have that actual quote that he said he's gone off the apps?
No, just her.
Or is she making that assumption?
Her friend. Yeah. Her friend had told her that, like, oh yeah, he said he wants to be exclusive and he said that he was deleting his apps.
Oh yeah. He said he was deleting his apps. But I mean, okay. So her dilemma is, does she tell the friend?
Exactly, yeah. Or does she just leave it because he might have been just having a nose?
Well, he's definitely having a nose. And I guess my immediate reaction would be he has every right until the friend says, yeah, let's be exclusive.
Yeah, so I'm not.
I mean, he may be looking to get her to lock down the exclusivity part because, you know, he wants to know if he should stop. Now, obviously, he could be a sneaky bastard too. But right now, at this juncture, he's really just on the if there was such thing as the legal side of sniffing around, in that they're not exclusive yet. He's looking to be exclusive.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to read.
Correct?
I'm trying to read now to see if they'd actually specify. But if they did just say they're exclusive, it was just happened. So it's hard to understand now if she means, or else that the friend hasn't confirmed on the exclusivity. But he's,
how old are these people, by the way?
They're like in their 30s, I think.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I think they're like my age. My advice would be, no, I hate getting involved and stuff like that, so I probably wouldn't get involved.
Well, listen, but it's just a fucking vague dilemma. I mean, it doesn't matter. If people are, you're a stranger, these people are asked for your advice, you're giving it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no legal requirement for you to be careful about what you say.
No, but I mean, like, if it were me, I probably wouldn't bother just because I don't really like getting involved and stuff. But if it was my best friend, look, I would probably, if it were me, I would want to know, because then you could just joke about it with your partner, being like, I thought you wanted exclusivity, but you're matching with my best friend. And then that brings up the conversation of, okay, where are we going? What do we want? It might be even better for the friend to know, because then she can kind of decide, like, oh, do I mind that he's on this? Oh, I do, actually. Yeah, let's be exclusive. Let's, like, confirm that and lock that down. And, like, it doesn't need to, I don't think they'd break up over it. I don't think they'll have a fight over it. It's actually probably a good way for them to kind of have a serious talk about it. And she could just be like, look, I know you match with my friend, and it's a bit embarrassing as well, so if we're going to be exclusive, do you mind? Why not?
Yeah, the problem is that we're missing this essential bit of information, which is, did the friend say we're exclusive or not, you know? I mean, I have to say I'm conflicted, you know, because
okay, so
on one level I don't feel like he
told her what? He really likes her and he's not seeing anyone else, and she wasn't sure about it because she'd just gone out of a serious relationship, so she just was like, okay, let's just go slow. That's basically it. And then,
yeah, I mean, I'm really conflicted because on one level I feel like, you know, until you're really serious, I think a lot of people probably sort of swipe on the down low. 50%, maybe even more of that, is just, I actually, honestly, sometimes I haven't actually been swiping on the apps lately, but at periods of time where you just get in the habit of swiping, sometimes I find myself swiping, I'm not even really paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm just like taking a shit or something. Yeah. So I just end up like swiping.
It's like, you know, a game. Like
the, what are they? They call that like the game, you know, it's like the game scenario, or the, you know, the game effect, the gaming effect, that you almost treat it like a video game. So on one level, it's really not that serious. So if she did decide to tell her friend for the crack, it's like, hey, Mr. Exclusivity is still swiping, I think.
Yeah, I think
then,
I think just tell. And
well, I haven't. Well, I'm not. That's not my advice.
Oh, okay.
This is my, on one level,
possible scenario.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like it's not a big deal, because actually what he's doing isn't really a big deal either, you know? And but on the other side, I feel like, you know, why would you get involved in somebody's business when, you know, it's not your business.
Exactly. Well, that's where I'm kind of saying, like, my advice would be, but I probably wouldn't, just because I wouldn't want to get involved. And unless they were going out a few months, then I'd be like, oh, okay, this is a bit weird. But
I'm conflicted, because I feel like it's so innocuous that it's almost a bit of crack to be like, yo,
yeah,
fucking Mr. Exclusivity is still swiping away, you know?
Yeah, and like,
and also part of the problem with advice like this is, you know, you're getting somebody's description of somebody's transcribing what they think their friends had, she doesn't know exactly the conversation that they've had, yeah, you know? So it is tough, you know, to say whether you should say something or not, you know?
And I think
maybe, here's a safe way, you know? Maybe she should just, and the next time they're having a conversation, without making it obvious, just verify, like, you know, exactly what he's saying to make sure that, you know, that she may have like maybe misinterpreted how serious it is between what they have said, you know, like in terms of, is it clear that he said he wanted exclusivity and she still hasn't said yes to that yet?
Yeah, no, that's, no? I think you're right. I think that's the best advice. Now, I do think since this person wrote in, it's bothering her. So I think for her own peace of mind, she would probably have to say something just to...
Well, she should clarify first where they're at.
Yeah.
And then if she thinks that, she should just make sure, because her friend wants to go slow. So this might help her friend to make the decision of, you know what, actually, I'm going to tell him, listen, like, you actually, just so you know, you match with my friend and I'm totally cool with that, because actually I'd rather just take it a little slower too. So she just needs to make sure where her friend is at before she brings it up, because it may be the very thing that helps her friend to just fucking put the brakes on it, you know? Yeah. Like, not fuck it up, but just kind of, because it might also be the thing that says to him, well, that's why I've been trying to get you to clear it up, because, you know, I'd be happy to stop, you know,
okay,
looking for other people, but, you know.
And as well, it might also make her be like, shite, actually, I do want to be exclusive. Also, second thing, if they've been seeing each other a while, I find it hard to believe that he doesn't know what the friend looks like. Well, like, he could have been just swiping and not realize. But you always know what the friends look like, you know, via Instagram or something. You wouldn't, yeah. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how long, you know, I don't. But the problem with a lot of these dilemmas is you don't know the exact details, you know.
Yeah, but the thing, I think you're...
But that's a good dilemma. That's a toughie, you know.
Yeah, and I think you're right about the...
But like, I'm always aware, like in the age of swiping, I'm always aware that if I've started to sort of, you know, fool around with somebody, but it's not serious, I'm always aware that the potential for a problematic swipe exists. But I also think, but that's just embarrassing. We're not in an exclusive relationship. So of course I'm still going to swipe away.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
So that's why I think like, it's not really that big of a deal what he's done. Plus, you know, her timing of it, you know, I hope she's 100% sure that it didn't, that the swiping situation was definitely that he swiped recently, you know.
Yeah, it could.
But I'll trust that she's 100% sure of that.
It could have been as well, like maybe he deleted his Tinder and then I don't know. I don't fucking know how these things work.
Who knows, yeah.
But like, anyway, but I think it's...
Good dilemma.
I think as well with swiping, it's just fucking swiping. People just do it to feel good about themselves. Like, I think if he messaged her and was like, hey babe, we want to fuck tonight or something, like cancel, you know, like, I mean, then you'd be like, oh shit, okay. And you'd be like, she could even be like, actually, you're seeing my friend.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he messaged her.
No, so...
You know, that's the thing. Like, you know,
he might be just swiping.
Swiping and matching is a bit of crap.
Yeah, that's why.
You know, it's only when you start messaging that it's a problem.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. He might have been just swiping.
We all love the ego boost. We all love the ego boost of a fucking, it's a match.
Well, I had a friend who was out on a date with a guy, and I think this was like third date because they'd already like, yeah, it was definitely third date because they talked up and stuff. And she looked down and he was fucking swiping on Tinder, and she was like, "What are you doing?" And he was like, "Oh, it's just habit." So
I know. I've never been caught, but I have found myself fucking swiping and being like, Jesus, man, what are you doing?
It's probably like, well, sometimes I guess that's like the automatic for people who do Tinder, because like sometimes I'll go on my phone. I don't Tinder, but I'll go on my phone to go look up something specifically like directions. And then I realize it's like an out of body experience. I realize I've just been sitting on Instagram for 5 minutes. So I guess it's probably the same thing, but with Tinder, you don't even realize you're going into it.
Yeah, yeah. If you're in that, there are periods of time where you do a lot of swiping. And, you know, I do think that you can accidentally do that. And I'm sure that he's just... But I'm sure he's a guy. I'm sure he's keeping his options open till he can't. You know?
Yeah, till the very last second.
You know, but I also think that in a way, you know, he probably shouldn't be too pushy on the exclusivity front if he's still swiping away. He should just like, you know, I guess I wonder, has she articulated it to him that she'd like to just go slow, you know, clearly, you know, because I, you know, if she's saying that and he's being like, let's be exclusive, but really he's like swiping away, he probably should be a bit more honest about what he wants to himself, you know?
Yeah. Or if maybe she said, look, I want to go slow, he might have been like, right, well, I'll go back on Tinder then. And
Yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, it's not a huge deal. That it's certainly not a major drama that they happen to match. It's a low-level transgression at
worst.
It's
just uncomfortable, you know? That's all.
Nice dilemma for the friend, though.
Yeah.
I appreciate her. I think it's a real dilemma for her, so I'm not dismissing her concerns. I think it's I'm very appreciative of that dilemma coming in.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Yeah, Britain, send us more dilemmas.
We love them, you know? We don't get enough of them.
Yeah.
You know? Disappointing.
Yeah, guys, come on, send us your problems. We've run out of problems of our own.
Oh, I've got plenty of problems of mine, but you know, you gotta be private on some shit. You know? So anyway, we were going to talk a little bit about what happened with Caroline Flack.
Yeah,
I didn't want to open up with that because it's just so. Well, it's one of the most more horrible scenarios that I've encountered in celebrity culture. Certainly in the last while, there's been some horrific ones. You know, even before and after Me Too and before that again. I mean, there has been some horrifically tragic stories, but this is one of the worst.
Yeah.
Really shocking.
And for just because I know we have listeners who aren't just in Ireland, and I'm not sure if they know Caroline Flack, but she was a presenter of Love Island. Oh, sure. Look, actually, loads of the Americans watch Love Island, so I'm sure they do.
She was the Love Island presenter. And for those that aren't aware, she had a domestic like a domestic violence incident before Christmas, and as a result, she was temporarily removed as presenter of Love Island for the new winter series. But it was a huge story here before Christmas, and even that story was horrific, and the way that it was reported and the way she was hounded was pretty terrible. But at the same time, I don't want to go through too much of the history of it, only because I think most people are super familiar with it. And because it's been covered so extensively over here, I didn't want to focus too much on it, other than I think the media is getting pretty fair criticism of the way that they hound human beings.
Yeah.
Did you listen to Laura Whitmore's radio?
No.
Sort of plea? Yeah, well, she was just very... Well, Laura Whitmore, by the way, is Irish, but she replaced Caroline Flack for this season, but she was very emotional about the way that the media... Because honestly, Laura Whitmore got some serious abuse taken over Love Island. And, you know, like, it's just... The trolling is horrific. But before we even get into the trolling, let's just focus on the media. You know, the media... Like, this is so domestic violence is no joke, okay? And we don't know the whole story, but we know that something bad went down in that flat when it did with her boyfriend. Was it Lewis Burton? Is that his name?
Yeah.
His name went out of my head there for a sec, I think, but maybe I'm right. But anyway, he something happened, okay? And the police were called, and it's a domestic disturbance, straight up. So there's nobody trying to pretend that something didn't happen. Exactly what happened, we don't know. That will actually become clearer as a result of the inquest into her death, I believe. Anyway, at the time, the press coverage of it was quite horrific, despite the fact that there was it was put out that perhaps she was having some mental health issues. And I would be willing to bet, and this is straight up conjecture on my behalf, but I would be willing to bet that booze was involved. You know, I can't remember the exact statistic, but booze is a factor in like way more than half. I believe it's like at least 3/4 of domestic violence disturbances have alcohol involved. I'd be willing to bet there was, but don't quote me on that because that is a guess. But either way, it's a horrific scenario. However wrong she was in that scenario, which we don't know, it's not something that should be dealt with in the public.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it better for anybody. And that is really what people are criticizing here, because it's too much pressure on a human being. you know? And I don't care how much people say, when you're a celebrity, you sort of put yourself in the public eye, so you have to take it. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, but there's also, I guess, look, everybody fucks up, but there's also an expectation that if you're a celebrity that you have to be absolutely perfect every second. Not saying that if it happened that it was right, I don't know what went on, but I mean, there's so much stress and pressure, I'd imagine. I'm not.
Yeah, well, there's stress and pressure when it's private.
Yeah.
And you know, there's, I mean, I find it hard to judge. I mean, and it's not just because it's a woman to a man violence. I just find it hard to judge, particularly on what appears to be an isolated incident, because when I was drinking, like, I blacked out and got in some bad fights, and I was only lucky that somebody didn't get hurt or I didn't get seriously hurt. And that was just pure luck, you know? But in the wrong scenario, I could have absolutely destroyed my life or destroyed the life of somebody else. So, you know, I just consider myself lucky. So I don't get overly judgmental. At the same time, I'm not dismissing her behavior. But at the same time, I know that police being called to your apartment, being arrested, being let out on bail, and having to face the consequences of your actions is more than enough stress for any human being. To then have that turn into one of the biggest news stories of the year, lose your job because of it immediately without any, you know, legal process happening, you lose your job, and you know, you essentially become like ashamed to walk out the door. That's just a lot to deal with, and the media take no responsibility for creating that, as if the fact that she made this small mistake allows her to have to sort of have more than just the law coming at her. It has to have public opinion and conjecture and all these things. It's just too much.
Yeah, and then
I'm not saying they caused her to commit suicide, but they created a scenario that made it more difficult for her than it needed to be.
Yeah, I know. And then as well, because she's in the public eye and every single person has an opinion, they're able to actually give that. So yeah, it's very hard to...
Well, that's the social media side then.
Yeah, it's very hard
to... And, you know, social media is horrific. Nobody takes... Well, most people don't take responsibility for their behavior on social media. And even today, if you go on Twitter, there's a ton of arguments about whether the Crown Prosecution Service should have taken the case. And the thing is that... You know what? We can't even criticize because we're literally sitting here talking about it. Mm-hmm. So we're all fucking talking about it. We're all actually part of the problem, which is we all have an ability to get our opinions out there, yeah. You know? But I would like to think that the point that we're trying to put out is that the abuse part of it is more hurtful than people realize. And very few people have to take responsibility for what they do.
Well,
and I don't know how you create a scenario where people have to be more responsible for the stuff that they write.
Well, it's like, let's say you have a person who's a celebrity and they're in the public eye and they've done this bad thing and everybody's like, let's fucking hold them accountable. But then at the same time, no one's being held accountable for the online bullying or the harassment by the media, or, you know, so it's like, to me, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like,
plus a lot of it is driven by jealousy and gossip. And, you know, I would like to consider more of our base pleasures, you know, or sort of like more of our toxic pleasures, you know, almost like a Schadenfreude, like taking pleasure from the pain of another.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's a real thing. And I think that unfortunately, as the internet has done with so many things, it's allowed that to be multiplied, you know?
Yeah. And like, I've no proper knowledge about the way the justice system works. I should. but I guess what I read was that they really only let that go to trial if they feel like it's going to be a repeat offence and that there wasn't really evidence there for that. So that's kind of where their people were like, ah, did it need to go that far? So it's a...
Yeah, from my quick reading on the Crown Prosecution Service criticism, I mean, on paper, they've done nothing wrong. All the stuff about the boyfriend saying he didn't want to press charges, of course you have to discredit that, because so often, as we know from, like, you know, battered spouses, that they'll say no, don't press charges, because they want to be forgiven, or they're afraid of the long-term effects of having brought them to court. You know, so it can be fear-based, or it can be naivety-based, or it can be, you know, a desire to think that next time is going to be different. And we all know that you can get stuck in these cycles of violence, you know. So I completely understand why you would just ignore his desire to have the charges dropped. But on the flip side, what seems to be this one isolated incident, you would have thought that there was an alternative to just bringing it to trial. Like, it did seem excessive to me. But at the same time, I do understand, and I get some people throwing out the with pure anger that if it was a husband to the wife, that we wouldn't be saying this, which I don't really know.
But my understanding of it has always been, and again, that's probably, it might be completely wrong, but that these cases are really hard to, that it's actually hard to kind of prove sometimes, and it's hard to get it to go to trial, and there's a lot of people who. So it's just, did this one seem to have...
It is exceptionally complicated. It is really complicated. It does seem to me that her management company, who has said that they were pursuing a show trial, I feel like they have a bit of an argument. Because, and I'm happy to open myself up here to people saying that you wouldn't say that if it was the other way around. But I do think they have a bit of an argument, because it appears to be an isolated incident. There definitely appears to be some mental health issues. And I feel like that's a situation where you have an alternative intervention. Now, maybe some people will say that the right intervention is a court case. But the problem is that in this situation, it's quite obvious that a court case is going to be so much more difficult for her. See, that's the thing. Like, this is a question, really. Does the Crown Prosecution Service have the discretion to say that this is something that is going to be more problematic because of who this woman is? And perhaps there is an alternative way of intervening here. Because her going to trial on this is a fucking disaster for her. I mean, part of the reason why she's killing herself is because she can't handle the extra strain of what this court case is going to do.
Yeah, because, like, absolutely, like, because if it were, and look, I've had experience where I've witnessed women be violent with men, and it's awful as well. They're both equally awful, and so we're not saying that. But when that happens, regular day to day basis, you're only dealing with maybe your family or your close friends knowing about it until whatever happens. But this was like every single person.
Yeah, it's extra. It's extra. It's not fair. Even though that's, I guess, the price you pay as a celebrity. You know that when you get into it. But these are exceptional circumstances. So personally, for me, I don't think the Crown Prosecution Service need to take responsibility for her committing suicide. Nobody can take responsibility for that. But people do have to step back and say, what part did I have to play in creating a scenario that it made her think that this was a good option? You know, I mean, in the end, she is responsible for her behavior, you know, but you can't ignore the fact that you may have created a scenario that made this way more stressful. That level of anxiety, I can't imagine what it does to your mind, you know. I can't imagine how black she saw the future for that temporary period of time, you know.
Yeah, I know it's hard, but, like, I just think, you know, when you've gone out boozing and you kind of, let's say, you black out, and the next morning you wake up with that feeling of regret, like, do I have my fucking keys? Do I have my, have I got my bag? Like, and that must have been, you know, so whatever happened, and it's still, if it happened, we don't know what fucking went on, but if it did, it's awful, but still having to live through that.
No, I mean, something went down. I mean, he called the cops. I mean, something went down.
Yeah, for sure. You know? But still having to live through that feeling for the next couple of months is, yeah, it is pretty fucking horrific. Because look,
and I mean, I've heard people with bad booze problems and the things that they did when they were drinking. But you know, I'm not going to blame booze. I don't even know if it is. But all I'm saying is, like,
yeah, I'm just trying to get that feeling of regret where you're like, oh,
she's
full.
She's getting the full fucking letter. She's getting the. I've heard so many In fact, I know about so many instances of domestic violence, and none of them are right. But nobody, I know nobody, and I've read nothing of the letter of the law being thrown so fucking hard at somebody over one incident as this woman has had to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, it's immense. It's so immense. But anyway, I don't know what it is that drives the troll behavior, but let me just give, just in terms of like how the media don't care, you know? Like the British press is really disgusting,
yeah.
You know, they don't care. Obviously people have been given the examples of Meghan Markle, the way she's been treated and Piers Morgan. I mean, Piers Morgan is a fucking, there's something dark there. And I don't want to just rip on him because then in the end I'm doing the same thing. I'm trolling him, but he has done some horrific things. You know, I'm not going to say he's a bad person. I'm not going to judge his character, but he has done some horrific things. From what I can see, in the name of profit, in the name of furthering his career, because all this provocative, controversial stuff fucking just thrives online and it thrives in the tabloid press. And he is a master of that. He's been doing it for a long time. And of course, he's horrified by Carolyn Flack's suicide, but he behaves in a way that in other scenarios has helped other people to have extreme stress. Which is, you know, which is unfair, right? So the British press is particularly bad. But let me just give some like two low level examples of unnecessary stress that the press caused to me, but then particularly in relation to one of them, stress that they created to somebody else while blaming me, right? So the first instance is probably less intense, which was I had this show years ago in Limerick. And there was a consistent disruptor at the show. And eventually I lost my patience and I told them they had to go, right? Now, it turned out that this person had a severe disability and had no way of stopping themselves shouting out, which I didn't know until literally, I think somebody shouted out as they were leaving that actually like they're disabled or something. And I was trying to say to these people like, sorry, no, you haven't let me know if there's you know, an inability, what we can work something out. But they left. Obviously, they were pissed off. And I was very angry at the venue that they hadn't told me that there may be some consistent disrupting. Just ignore it because it's somebody that can't stop themselves from, you know, from shouting out. So there was, nothing came of it until about a month later. They wrote an article in the local Limerick paper. But then the next day, on the front page of every major tabloid in Ireland was articles saying that I had, you know, told this disabled person to leave.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like without any context.
Yeah.
As if I was, you know, like, you know, basically like kicking out somebody with issues, you know,
did they not,
which was not the case.
When they do that, do they?
It literally sounded like heckling because they were cursing. I mean, they did have, Tourette's was part of it, you know? But it was more than just Tourette's, but it didn't sound like anything other than consistent heckling. You know, when somebody like keeps repeating themselves and they think it's funny, that's the way it sounded, you know? I mean, anyway, I don't need to explain myself
No.
because it literally sounded like, and I kept telling them to stop. And nobody, by the way, in the group that was with them, nobody said, just so you know, Des, we're sorry for the disruption, but this person can't stop themselves.
That's what I was just about to ask. Like, that's...
Yeah, no, they didn't. But they did throw me under the bus, that group. But there's nothing I can do about them. That's fine. They were stressed. I'm not going to blame them. Anyway, it's neither here nor there. The way the papers said it was that I, you know, told this person to go. Then, like, of course, a couple of days later, like half a paragraph, 10 pages in, you know, people that were at the Des Bishop show say, you know, that's not what happened. You know, nobody knew that this person had a problem. It just sounded like consistent heckling. And as comedians are wont to do, if it gets too disruptive, they ask the person to leave for the sake of the show. But that was like, you know, like three lines, like, you know, hidden in the paper, right? So then I had to just deal with all this fucking stress. Now, that's not huge, right? I'm not comparing it to anything, but this is not a comparison. But I remember the stress of just like feeling like everybody was looking at me, and, you know, just like seeing the this was before Twitter, but I remember seeing in forums online, because this is before I realized that you should never look up yourself online. You know, the word troll didn't exist. So I see all this stuff online, how horrible I am as a human being, and, you know, just the shit that you see, you know? And I didn't want to show my face for fucking days. I was so fucking stressed. So then a week later, right? It was fucking Good Friday. Or maybe it wasn't Good Friday, but it was around Easter.
Yeah.
I'm doing a live radio show with Ray Darcy. And live radio shows are always problematic because you got that live crowd. So it gives you that sort of stand-up-y energy. So at one stage, the interview's sort of finishing up. And Ray asks me, am I seeing anybody or something? And I was like, no. And even if I was, I wouldn't tell you or something like that. And he says, come on. We need an exclusive or something. He's just joking around. So I was like, oh, you need an exclusive? All right, I'm gay. And he was like, are you gay? And I was like, no, I'm just joking, give you an exclusive. And then he said something like, are you comfortable with your sexuality? And I was like, yeah, I'm comfortable with my sexuality. I'm doing a show with Derek Mooney next week, right? Now, number one, I didn't think that Derek Mooney was in the closet, right? I just thought he was gay. And by the way, I am more than aware that it was a shit joke, but it was just like a stupid fucking improv, right? But Ray Darcy responds by saying, oh, we better go to a commercial break before Des Bishop outs somebody else, right? But he's joking too, okay?
Yeah.
Next day, every page of every front page of every tabloid in Ireland, Bishop outs Mooney.
Jesus. Was Mooney, I don't know who Mooney is now. I have to go Google him. But he is.
It's all right. You're outing yourself as somebody who knows nothing about Irish media. I got a lot of messages from people saying, how the fuck did Katie not know who Miriam O'Callaghan was?
I'm like, the more we do this podcast, I've like signed up to the Irish Independent and stuff. I'm like, right, better get back to my roots.
Well, anyway.
He's obviously a comedian.
No, Derek Mooney is a television presenter and a radio presenter.
Okay, great.
Now let me just explain. First of all, I was not aware that Derek Mooney was in the closet. As it turns out, Derek Mooney was very upset by all this, but he did talk to me afterwards. And he did say that, first of all, I wasn't in the closet. However, I didn't personally want to talk about any of that publicly. Plus, I really, for the sake of my family, didn't want it plastered all over the paper. And it was, you know, I was younger at the time. It was more in hindsight, years later, I felt even worse because, first of all, I was not outing Derek Mooney. I just told a stupid fucking joke without being aware of any consequences. But what bothered me at the time was that I never had the sort of the wherewithal to turn around and say, I am not outing anybody. I made a dumb fucking joke about something I don't even know about. You, and nobody would have paid any heed to that. You are the people that are putting it on the front page of every people. You are outing Derek Mooney, if it's possible to out somebody that's not in the closet. You are the ones that are using me to get your salacious story.
Yep, and also as well,
though. And while I take full responsibility for my dumb joke, you're the people that are doing it. You're the people that are causing harm. And of course, I feel like a fucking dumbass for giving you the window to do that.
Mm.
But you're fucking with this guy's life. You're fucking with my life. But in this scenario, how they're fucking with me is minuscule compared to how they're fucking with Derek Mooney and his fucking private life.
Absolutely.
You know, and they're just waiting for some fucking moment to be able to hang their fucking front pages on it without getting sued for fucking libel.
But it's also as well, they're saying like, whatever you say, even if you got on and you were like, you got on to the radio tomorrow and you go, everybody, Katie's lesbian. And they're like, oh, no, I'm not famous, so they're not going to care. But let's say I was famous in this scenario. And then everybody's like, oh, Katie's lesbian, Des says that. But it's like, just because Des says it doesn't mean it's true, do you know? So like, it's that also, they should be like, there's no fact checking here. There's no kind of, you think that they would go and talk to him. God, I'd never be a reporter because I'd be too nice. Like, is this okay that I write this? Is this true about you? And then they'd be like, no, it's not. Or yes, it is. Or, you know, I don't know.
No, but they don't care.
You know, that they're like they sharks. I could never do it. I'd be like, I'd be the shittest reporter ever. I'd be like, everybody's happy. Yeah. We're all nice. You know, yeah, it's just weird how they can take what someone else says and then be like, yeah, it's fact. And especially from a stand-up comedian, because everything we say are jokes. Like, everything we say now on this podcast could all be just jokes and all just stories. So, do you know, you can't really be going from a fucking quoting a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, and it was one of the things that I really regret. It was afterwards I made jokes about it on stage, you know, just about the, you know, the scenario. And actually, I met Derek Mooney, and he said that some of his family were at my show, and that was like an added hurt to them that I had been joking about it. And it was actually one of the few jokes that I truly regretted in my career. But you know what though? I honestly was too fucking immature back then. It was only years later that I properly registered how difficult that must have been for him, you know? And while I give myself a bit of a break, because obviously I was feeling a bit aggrieved that this throwaway comment had then given them an excuse to fucking shit all over me while destroy, you know, like by really causing this guy pain. So there was an element of me feeling aggrieved. So I understand why I thought I had the right to sort of vent out. It was years later that I felt really bad that I was helped him to have this fucking scenario. But it always did bother me that these papers never have to take responsibility for the fact that they do it. You know?
Yeah.
And also, you know, even so many of these big tabloid storms, they aren't storms until they make them storms. So these, a lot of times, things aren't big issues and then they turn them into one, you know?
No, exactly.
And
like what you said, they did exactly what they're saying you did, which is like...
Yeah, but you know, but they're fucking disgusting, you know? They really are. Like, I'll take responsibility for my actions, but they very rarely take responsibility for theirs, you know? I mean, they had to take responsibility over the phone hacking, you know, and the News of the World went under for that. But, you know, more often than not, they only take responsibility at times like this. But what, it takes the suicide of a fucking of a woman at the peak of her career to make them go, "Oh, right. These people have fucking feelings." You know, because honestly, I mean, I've talked about this with a few people. I won't mention any names, but like, I love my life, you know, and I'm quite happy to take the good with the bad in terms of like whatever level of notoriety I have. But it's very difficult to point out how fucking stressful it is when you end up at a period of high, you know, like high visibility online or in the media. It's so fucking stressful.
Yeah, I can't even I can't imagine.
Those two examples are only two of many, you know. I've had many, you know. And it's horrific. And then I had like I've had various trolls over the years, particularly ones that are like persistent trollers, you know, and like I confronted one once just by chance. He fucking outed himself to me in a group having a conversation. He told me who he was. And I was like, wow. And I think he thought it was all a bit of crack, but he had once sent me an email like threatening my life or threatening violence. I remember it being one of the few times that I thought about going to the guards was over one of these emails or messages that this guy sent me, Cork guy. And suddenly he outs himself to me, which just shows how deluded these guys are. Like often they're not even like aware of their behavior or aware of the power of what they're doing. And I actually said to him in front of his friends, I was like, dude, it's not a bit, because I think he said something like, it's all a bit of a laugh. And I was like, it's not a fucking bit of a laugh, dude. You threatened my life in a fucking email.
It's not a laugh. And that's you know? The problem. What people physically write and send via email, social media, whatever, are stuff they would never fucking say in real life. Or they wouldn't have the balls. And they're like, oh, it's grand. It's not grand. That's terrifying.
Yeah, now, I never heard another fucking word from him from that day. But like, and I didn't threaten him. But obviously, you know, the 6'3" fucking Dez standing next to you is not the same as the fucking... you know, forum profile, because it was all forums back then, you know? So it's obviously quite different when you're confronted by the person. But anyway, I mean, he disappeared. You know, that a lot of it is mental illness for these people too, you know? Like, I think this person was like, you know, had some issues, and comedy can attract that. But anyway, long story short, all that stuff can create a ton of stress. Now, it creates a lot less stress for me nowadays because I kind of realized the dynamics at play. But at that stage, I was younger, and also this language of trolling and online abuse, it didn't exist. I took loads of that shit to heart. Honestly, it fucking was killing me at the time. And, you know, I have a little bit of regret of that time too, because I actually changed. I didn't do as many Irish jokes, you know, after that period of time. I used to get so much abuse for being a fucking Yank talking about Ireland that I actually stopped doing that, thinking that somehow these people were right. Whereas in actual fact, they're just fucking trolling assholes.
Yeah.
They only hate you because of your popularity.
And like,
but I was taking all this shit to heart because, the language didn't exist back then of online trolling, you know? So obviously, I never ended up in a situation where I was suicidal. So I'm not, again, like none of this is, I'm not comparing any of this to Caroline Flack. We're just jumping off from that story onto this. But the point is that it has varying levels of effects on your life as a human being, which is very hard to articulate. It's safe to articulate right now because the heartbreaking effects of abuse are now plain for the world to see. So there's like a little bit of a window to be like, on so many different levels, this shit actually affects you as a human.
Yeah. And look, and it's good to get, because you have a perspective on how the media had affected your life, you know? And the thing is, people just aren't, they're just not realizing that you're a person now. Everybody has to be obviously held accountable for their actions, but that doesn't mean you need to be burned at the fucking stake. And then secondly, I'm over here joking about Americans. Those same people who trolled you as an American in Ireland joking about, shouldn't be joking about Irish people, they'd be very upset if they heard that I was over here and I was joking about Americans and they started trolling me. They'd be like, leave our Irish woman alone. So it's just more about having like a bit of like a...
Oh, I know. I mean, first of all, it was irrelevant. I shouldn't have taken any of it to heart. I mean, that's on me. But honestly, it was easier to take it to heart then, because I'm telling you, there's a lot more language about online dynamics than there was back then. It was the early days of forums. It was actually pre-Twitter. It was just... It just wasn't as clear.
Yeah.
The word troll didn't exist. They used to call them WOMs, you know, wind-up merchants. But like, it just didn't exist. And it does annoy me that I took it to heart at the time, because I wouldn't take it to heart now.
Now, can I?
I mean, I just laughed when the Irish Times article came out about my mom. There was a few comments. One of the comments was like, you know, how sad is this that he has to use this to bring himself back to relevance or some shit? Like that.
That's so annoying. You know? Like, you can't, though. Do you know? Even I, like, I'm not even famous and I've gotten some fucking weird shit on Reddit and stuff. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. Or on like the roast battles.
I never go on Reddit. I mean, Reddit is literally like...
Yeah, I don't anymore.
It's like walking into fucking Chernobyl.
I know. It's fucking mental. But so, walking into Chernobyl, that's so funny. But I want to say something, and I hope I don't get murdered for saying this, but basically with the... You said there that some people would be like, oh, if this was a guy and he had hit his girlfriend over the head with a lamp or whatever went down. Oh, but now, I'm sorry, there's a lot of famous male actors who... kind of, you know, like what's your man, Batman, and then there was that other guy's brother,
what's your man, Batman, or
Christian Bale, and there was a story going out that he'd hit someone, and now that's all awful, don't fucking be hitting people, but he didn't lose his job, you know, it was investigated or whatever. Like, this woman lost everything over a thing that hadn't been properly investigated yet. Now look, when it is, you know, it could come out, but I mean, That's the, and sorry, there's fucking guys who violently sexually assault women and they do not fucking lose their job. They don't even go to prison that long, or there was a case like a few years ago where the woman had to like take money instead. So I'm sorry, the comparison. Oh, if
yeah,
it were
no,
a
that
man,
comparison is not. Is so I comparison is nonsense. I mean, there's
if anything,
just so many
I think
examples
they were just
of...
like, let's take her down a bit, and that's the thing, like. You know, don't like, they're like, oh, if it were a man, actually, if it were a man, I'm sorry, there's a lot of men who were in the public eye getting away with stuff. So, and they're not losing.
No, 100. I mean, I 100%. I think you're right. I mean, I think it's more likely that there was somebody in the Crown Prosecution Service that thought, let's use this as an example to make clear that women can abuse men too.
Yeah, and they can.
Which is not fair.
And look, no, but and they can, and it's true, and I've seen it. And I think, I'm very much a, you know, I just, it's, I know how hard.
No, I know, because you've seen it. I know you've seen it.
I don't think that's fair to be like, let's use this and make a show. And it's not like he was, you know, it was an isolated incident that still had to be investigated, let's say. So I wish they could make a law where it's not public until the people need to know what's going on or whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's a total fucking double standard, because actually there's plenty of examples of domestic violence incidents that have disappeared.
Yeah.
You know, man hitting a woman. There's plenty of examples of them disappearing.
Yeah.
But people just, you know, people just want to make this point. I mean, the only thing I can say, which is a fact, is that she was fucking getting the full letter of the law.
Yeah.
You know, and when I think of, the memory is very unreliable, but I feel like I've remembered numerous incidents where very famous people have been involved in domestic violence incidents and they haven't actually been charged.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I can't think of, but we've all, or the guy who was in Manchester by the Sea, that other guy, still did Manchester by the Sea. He was going through a domestic abuse case as well. Anyway.
Who was that?
Oh, Iran's brother. Jesus.
Oh, Casey Affleck. Yeah, but that was a sexual assault claim, right?
Oh, I thought it was domestic violence. But then again, there you go. See, I don't even know. We don't know. We just hear one thing and we're like, this is it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Another.
But I mean, anyway, I just don't think it's. Yeah, I just, that whole thing is fucked up. That side of it is just very fucked up.
And then we're getting our news from social media as well, so you don't really know. It's, you know, and it, when you Google,
it's her,
when you Google these stories, it's people's opinions and tweets nearly come up first before the actual fucking news. So, and then the news is like unreliable, as you said. So, like, especially the tabloids.
But I think that's a real, listen, I think it's a real issue, and I think it would have been very easy to use the Caroline Flack scenario to point out that sometimes men are abused and all that. Like I do think that's a real issue. Yeah. And I completely respect somebody who wants to say that the Crown Prosecution Service had every right. And, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
They had every right. However, you know, it does reek a little bit of trying to make an example out of somebody. And I just think that that's dangerous when that somebody has so much more to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not fair to compare, but I do think that it is an added pressure to know that it's going to be in the fucking media.
Yeah, you can't even go out for,
I
like,
don't think
your
that
meal.
Gives you a pass, though. I don't think that gives you a pass.
No.
However, in a scenario like this, I do feel that there was room for discretion.
Yeah, because we just don't know what happened yet. And I feel like everybody jumping on a bandwagon, well, just wait, like, be patient. And then that would have given her the time as well to kind of be like.
Now, in saying that, you know, one thing that actually, one thing I should say, perhaps, is that I'm not sure it would have been public that actually they were going to have a trial unless she had killed herself. So I don't know how discreet the whole process would have been.
Yeah. I don't know. See, I just don't know.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I guess ideally in those situations, no matter who it is, like, it's awful and don't fucking do it. But, like, I mean, just let it be due process or whatever, if that's the right, like, we all don't need to be like, just kind of, you know, as a society, we're just not very patient. And we're very involved.
But I do also hope, that people do not think that we're comparing these stories that I told with what went down.
No, they won't. But just, it's good. Look, I don't have that yet. I'm sure if I get successful, they'll be like, Katie said this. And I'd be like, fuck. But it's good to be able to see that, because we can all imagine. I'm sorry, if you ask most Sally or Harry, they would say that they wouldn't want to be a celebrity, because that's your, every second of your life is in question, everything you say. And, like, I love doing stand-up comedy. It's like the moment I'm most happiest is when I'm on stage and I'm trying to work out stuff. It just happens that if I want to do that and be successful at it, it's going to come with publicity, because that's how you become successful at it. So
I know, but the hilarious thing is, here you are, you're just pursuing your dream of being a stand-up comedian, yeah. You're doing a podcast, you're this cute, lovable Katie, and nothing in your head is saying, like, you know, I want to do all this because one day I just want to be fucking a celebrity.
Yeah, no, not at all.
You want to be successful, but the thing is that once you become successful, and they start eating you up, everybody will say, well, she knew what she was getting into. But it's like, no
you don't.
You know, that's not what you're signing up for.
Not at all. You're just like, oh, I'm actually good at this and I enjoy it. Oh, I'm getting better. Oh, I want to work harder at this. Oh, this is like fulfilling. Oh, this is better than any relationship I've had. Oh, this is like the reason I want to exist. And then you take that all away from me. Like, I've experienced depression and considered that, you know, but in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't. But I mean, I can't imagine. I don't think I would find that very, very hard. Now, again, that's a different situation. But like, there has been situations where people have turned on people because they said something on Twitter or they said something on a podcast. And I think when it, so this isn't about Caroline Fleck, let's just say in general, when a comedian says something on Twitter or they say something on a podcast and it's not like super cool, but it's like, it's just a fucking stupid thing. They tweeted it. Oops, shouldn't have. If we're asking for tolerance, we also have to be tolerant and be like, okay, you made a mistake. You're sorry. Don't fucking do it again. Not like, let's take them down. And it's like,
that's the deeper discussion. So you're like, about online discourse.
You're asking for tolerance, but you're being intolerant.
Intolerant.
Yeah. And it's like, there's still people who make mistakes. Like, I don't want to be famous. I always say I want to be successful. There's no part. And if I end up being seen by something, I'm not going to say, no, sorry, Netflix. Good luck now. I'm not taking that. Do you know? But so it's just, I think.
I know, but even that's why I tried to catch myself ripping on Piers Morgan too hard, because even like after this, everyone just starts fucking tearing Piers Morgan and Dan Wooten, a Sun journalist, down. And it's like, yeah, they've been dicks. They really have. But then people are just fucking online abusing the fuck out of them, being like, this is your fault, not realizing that they're doing the same fucking
100%.
Thing.
Yeah, this is the thing.
They're doing the same thing. It's literally like this relentless fucking circle.
I'll put it here. It's no one's fault. Okay. Yeah. There's people who have to be like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that or whatever. But I mean, we just need to go forward being like more simple thing, more fucking considerate. Just, do you need to attack someone online? Nah, go for a run. If you're feeling that you need a bit of drama in your life, you probably just need a bit of exercise and you need that, like,
Katie sorted it out again.
Yeah, that's it. I've cured the world.
We're going to write a book, Katie's Simple Solutions.
Go for a run. My solutions are...
Because you're right, Katie. You're right.
Well, I think there's something... This is me now. This is probably pure bullshit. But I think, you know, there's something in us primal. Like what you said earlier, I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, there's primal instincts. And I think we don't like... We're not like... you know, in the olden days, back when, you were constantly just surviving, you know, each day you might die. And so we don't have that now. Most people anyway, we're pretty like, you know, you're going to be grand. So that's why you need to go for a run, get that adrenaline out there, or join a team, you know, go fucking hit someone with a hurl.
Yeah, Katie, just stop.
I'm telling you, that's going to solve it all. If you feel like getting on and being like, this motherfucker, just go, actually, do you know what? Maybe I should start a TV series, a thriller.
Yeah, but anyway, on a serious note, it is an issue of our time. I don't know how it's going to be solved, but how to police online discourse is an issue of our time. It comes up every now and then. It's come up big time on this one, and you know, I've seen various suggestions like that people can't be on Twitter without their full name and their picture. You know, there has to be more accountability. You know, these things do come up. You know. But these websites, they can't police it. But the media can be policed. But unfortunately, the regulations have never seemed to work.
It's really tough. That's it. Somebody said last night, when the internet gets you, you're fucked.
But you have no idea. I mean, I've been there. Like, I've had a few annoying ones over the years. I'm not going to get into any more because I'll just get in a bad mood. But
yeah,
it is stressful, man. Mm. Fuck, it's so stressful. I remember I had one not that long ago. Like, my mom was fucking sick. Fucking shit's kicking off online. I had other shit going on. And it's just like, I don't fucking need this shit right now. Especially when it's for, you know, like both of those scenarios I gave were like, well, one of them was like, I didn't do anything wrong. And it got written about as if I did something wrong. And then with the Derek Mooney thing, it was like, I'd done something like quite low level stupid that got turned into fucking high level insane. and that was not my fault, you know? And you're just sitting there and this going like, Jesus Christ, like I'm catching so much stress for something so low level. And it was the same with fucking another one a few years ago, like, and the fucking, you know, just dealing with all this real life shit and all these people are fucking just chiming in on like a not even like real scenario, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucking so stressful. It's so stressful.
Do you think that happens more though in Ireland or the UK than it does? Now, I just don't read shitey magazines, but I'm just thinking for American celebrities, is it a little less that?
No.
Okay. You think it's just as bad?
No, it's worse. I mean, there's TMZ.
Oh, see?
Website created for it.
I just don't read this stuff.
You know, Page Six and the New York Post.
Okay, yeah.
You know, and then just online, I mean... Did you not see what happened to Gayle King last week?
Cause no.
She asked a woman about Kobe Bryant's transgressions and the fucking hell she caught. Snoop Dogg actually said something quite violent. You know, he has apologized in the meantime, but no, these fucking online things kick off all the
time.
Well,
I know about the online thing because I can see it. I've known comedians who've been taken down or had jobs taken away from them, but I was thinking more about the... like the high celebrities, like I was thinking like of Jennifer Aniston or whatever. I was like, I was just wondering if there was similar, because I
only... Non-stop. Every time you go in a fucking pay for something at a CVS, look at all those magazines.
I guess because I just grew up with like...
It's all bullshit about them. The Inquirer.
Yeah, you're right, Yeah, Jesus.
It's all that.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, I think that's a relatively healthy discussion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everyone's had their few cents on that. Anyway, that's another episode done. If anybody is looking to go to Mia Mama, the next available dates are Cavan on the 28th. And then Thursday night of the Cork shows, March the 6th, there's tickets left. And then Limerick and Wexford. And then that's it. Everything else is sold out.
And you think...
For the winter.
And you think you'll be back in New York then when? Next week?
No, mid-April.
Oh, okay. Cool.
No, I had mentioned that possibly I'll be back for a couple of days, but that's not a guarantee. In fact, we shouldn't discuss it while we're on the podcast, but you still have the key to my apartment.
Yeah, right? I do, yeah.
I really could do with a mega favor.
Yeah, sure, I gotcha.
I just need you to look at my mail.
Okay, I'll do that.
It's been weeks.
I'll do that.
We might as well let our listeners know about our little bit of life admin.
Yeah, I have Dez's keys.
I mean, really, what I was really hoping for is Dez. I know I said I wouldn't do it, but I met this guy last night and I used your apartment.
No, I couldn't. I wouldn't even be comfortable.
Where did you interview?
At her apartment.
Our next week's guest.
At her apartment.
So, oh, nice. So we do. What's her name? That's going to be on next
Sarah.
Week.
Sarah. Jesus, I forgot her last name.
Oh my God.
Well, do you know what? It's not that I forgot her last name. I just don't know her last name. I just, you know, you'd be like, "Hi, I'm Sarah. Hi, I'm Katie." Let's see. Oh, Sarah Ryan. She's great. She's funny. Oh my God.
So you chatted to her about being an Irish, you know, just two Irish girls in New York.
Yeah. So basically, she listens to the podcast because I did your Caroline show years ago. That's how she seen me and started following me, and then she started listening to the podcast. So she listens to podcasts, and she messaged me going, "Look, I got tickets to your New York Comedy Club show." So she came out, and I messaged and said, "Look, if you want to come for a drink, there's a bunch of Irish people out." So she comes, and she literally is like the star of the, like, everybody's just gathered around listening to her. Like, the stuff she was saying, she's very open. And she said, like, coming here, she'd come out of a 12-year relationship and then moved to New York and was just...
Well, you don't have to give the whole fucking interview, Katie. I'm just saying
she gives a lot of... She gives a lot of her sexual experiences and very open and very, like, you know, getting over the shame. And I just thought that was great to hear another Irish woman going through that, so...
Oh, that's great. So that's coming up next
week. Yeah, I'm excited.
And, so at Katie Boyle Comic.
Yeah, coming to my show.
Instagram at Des Bishop. We love the dilemmas, guys.
Yeah, I keep sending the dilemmas.
And we love the reviews. You know, the reviews are really, I know we always say this, but the reviews and the 5 stars, we always ask for them, but they help our chart position. Okay. And, you know, even though our listenership is actually very hot, like we're at a peak, like we've had bigger spikes in listenership, but in terms of like what's become like our base listenership, it's quite a bit up in recent times, which is great. But it's really the 5-star reviews and the 5 stars and the reviews and the comments and stuff that really help the old chart position. If you listen on iTunes, if you listen on Spotify, which we keep increasing our listenership on Spotify. If you listen on Spotify, do take a screenshot, put it up on your Instagram stories and, you know, make little comments about, you know, it's always good when you make like a little quote or something. And any feedback on this, which was, you know, like a lot of heavy stuff, any comments are welcome. Thanks so much for the feedback last week. Thank you for the dilemma. More dilemmas, please.
Yeah, thank you.
Katie, any final words?
Well, just if you keep 5-starring and giving reviews, it'll help me get successful and then get torn down by the media. So come on, guys.
Yeah, if you want Katie to destroy her life.
Please help us.
Make her famous.
Make me famous. I want to have a boat.
You want to have a boat?
Yeah, I'll be out on my boat when they're tearing me down on the media. They'll be like, remember what she said on this episode 57? I'm like, oh, fuck.
Wow. A boat. They say the happiest day of your life is the day you buy your boat and the second happiest day is the day you sell it.
Because you never used it.
Because it's actually quite a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
It's quite a responsibility, you know? So that's fun. I'll be back next week for the intros and the outros.
Yep.
So we'll try to have a bit of crack with that. I look forward to hearing your interview so I can make my comments afterwards. So I guess next week will be kind of like another dirty app.
Yeah, it's very lighthearted, very explicit.
Nice.
Yeah, so we both told a couple of dirty stories.
I'm disappointed I wasn't there.
I know, she inspired me to say a dirty story as well. I probably wouldn't have shared, but I went, feck it. And I shared it. So, that's that. So yeah, thanks everybody. I love yous.
All right, thank you. See you next week.
Bye.
All right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.